Pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as the wind that blows. Come as the fire that burns. Inspire and empower our lives. Amen. Have a seat. There's an important thread in the readings that we have for today. It creates a kind of mechanism for us to recognize God's purpose for us in the Creator's design for the human-divine relationship. This isn't just a pairing of stories having to do with languages that happen to have been scheduled for the Feast of Pentecost. There's a bigger point that God is trying to bring us to. The readings today provide an outline of this bigger picture. Think of the story of Babel in the book of Genesis as the pivot point in the larger theme. It links God's original desire for humanity near the beginning with the reading from the book of Acts, a story that takes place long, long after the city and tower of Babel are abandoned and the people scattered. As people of the resurrection time, we're still living in the moment inaugurated by the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago on the day we now call Pentecost. And we'll continue in this way until the next thing that God does with humanity. The story leading up to Babel sets the stage. In the beginning, God created a unified humanity in a deeply integrated relationship with God. We use the names Adam and Eve to understand this state of being. Together, they are humanity, made in the image of God. They represent God's rule over all creation, and they are themselves a blessing upon all creation. Humanity makes the conscious decision to seize their own autonomy and break the unique bond they enjoy with God. They do this by choosing to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This action sets off a series of events thereafter that show humanity divided against itself and spiraling out of control. Because they broke the bond, that deeply integrated bond with God, the suffering becomes the inescapable tension point in life. In subsequent stories in Genesis, we watch as humanity, operating on its own, continually seeks to exert power over everything, even though it doesn't need to. It ends up creating an ever-increasing feedback loop of suffering. The first thing Adam and Eve discover when they eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is that humanity is deeply, deeply afraid. This is described by their rush to cover themselves, their nakedness, and their vulnerability. They fear this. Humanity is so fear-driven that we learn to murder one another. Not long after that, humanity claims kingship and divine rule over creation. Nations are built, people are enslaved, and humanity engages in all sorts of mutual destruction. That brings us to the passage in Genesis that we read today. Humanity decides to unify itself in one language. Whose language? Well, probably the most powerful and intimidating ruler of the time, who didn't ask anybody else's opinion on the matter. They attempt to build this city and its tower, not as a way to reunify with God or to recognize the trust that God placed in humanity to be a blessing upon all creation. No. They did it to confront and challenge God with their own perceived power, which they're convinced is more powerful than God. Babel represents the apex of human hubris and ignorance. The architects of the city and its tower made the decision that all language was their language and would be the only language. There would be no room for other expressions of either human or divine truth. No room for the diversity of ways God is revealed to humankind. No way to perceive any of the other infinite facets that make up the creator of the world. This is where God steps in to save us from ourselves. God is infinitely diverse, so diverse that we cannot comprehend the totality of God. God is revealed in creation at scales both cosmic and quantum, and everything in between. From the innermost parts of a black hole to the spaces between subatomic particles, to the hangnail on the cuticle of a tardigrade. God's presence is in all things. God's image is, of course, most clearly present to us in the faces and the bodies of other humans with whom we share this planet. No single language or expression can ever convey all that God is. The notion that such vastness can be reduced to a single expression is so offensive to God that God scatters the people and removes from them the notion that there can be only one way to express the human-divine relationship. The city of Babel and its tower are abandoned. The people are made to adapt to new ways of telling their unique stories as God's beloved children. We read, "The Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth, where they would encounter more ways to perceive God than they ever thought possible, infinitely more than they could ask or imagine." From this moment, we pivot to the next part of the sequence of God's revelation to the world. Fast forward to the day of Pentecost that's described to us in the Acts of the Apostles. Once again, we find people gathered in one place, sharing the same story and the same experiences of the incarnation of God. They are on the cusp of the very thing God dispersed long ago in that city, on the plain, in the land of Shinar. The Spirit of God rushes in and scatters God's children once again. While God may be worshiped and adored in communities that share a common prayer style, God wills to be found outside of it, in other people, in other experiences, and with different expressions. It is as if God tells humankind once again, "Go out into the world and hear my story as told by different people. Don't stay in isolation where the story of God never changes and is never expanded by human experience. God has so much more for the disciples to learn and to do and to deepen their understanding of the human-divine relationship. This relationship will always be incomplete until all the stories are told and all the experiences are shared and all the ways God's love is revealed to us, that it can be reunified with the one truth of all creation, the living God. And look what happens when we are sent out into the world as God's children. In the Acts of the Apostles, the good news of Jesus is shared across many cultures and languages. We know that there are some words that have no direct translation into other languages. Ergo, there will be some ways of understanding the truth and reality of God that cannot be expressed with the precision of our native language. We'll have to take it on faith that these understandings express a deep depth of God that is meaningful and life-giving. We can still celebrate that, even if we can't understand it completely. In the gospel, Philip desires to see God. Jesus tells him two things. First, he says in order to see divinity, he simply has to turn his attention to the works done in Jesus' name in the world. In other words, look around at the good things being done in the community in which they are. Works that heal and restore. Works that empower others to express their truth and reveal the unique image of God through their very being. The second thing Jesus tells the disciples, not just Philip, is to not let fear get in the way. Remember the first thing that Adam and Eve discovered when they chose to break the human-divine relationship? They were afraid. They were afraid of one another. They were even afraid of their own selves. Fear still operates in so many ways in the human condition. Jesus tells them not to fear. We read, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." But wait. Let's take a closer look at that sentence in Jesus' words. He says, "Do not let them be afraid." Who? Who are the them that Jesus indicates? Do not let them, your hearts, do not let them be afraid. Perhaps. Perhaps Jesus is reiterating what he said in the sentence before. Maybe we should understand it as, do not let them, the other disciples in the room, be afraid. Perhaps Jesus is still speaking just to Philip, and he's asking Philip to help lead the other disciples. Given the path we're on today, I wonder if Jesus is speaking about all the people outside that room, the Parthians, the Elamites, the Cappadocians, the people of Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, Cyrene, Jews and Arabs. Philip and the others will meet all of these people and more. They all have their own way of expressing the beautiful divine. Maybe Jesus is saying, do not let them be afraid. Perhaps Jesus' words to the original disciples are still a divine truth for us today. When we leave this room, as the disciples in the Acts of the Apostles did, we too will encounter people of other languages and expressions, people with their own truths to share. And while we share our understanding of the Creator to them in our words and actions, we might, if we're paying attention, we might just find that the truth of God is being expressed to us in the words and actions of others. I love that this year, Pentecost falls in Pride Month. I deeply appreciate all the ways the LGBTQ2+ community expresses the facets of God's reality in love. And honestly, I don't always understand all of it. And these are my people. Maybe you don't completely understand Pride Month either. That's okay. You don't have to understand all of it. But as much as you can, receive the truths that are presented in it and know that there is nothing to be afraid of. Supporting communities that encourage many languages and expressions, communities built with love and not fear, bring us closer to the divine diversity that is the Creator of the world. It serves to restore us all to that original, deeply integrated human-divine relationship. I believe this is why the Spirit sends us out, to hear the stories our neighbors have to share. We are given the ability to receive the truths of our neighbors in the diversity of their language and expression and style. God has been trying to draw humanity back into that original state of deep integration since the very beginning. God's relentless pursuit of us is for this singular purpose. God wills to be found and can be found in our very own community. So let's go out this Pride Month and avail ourselves of the opportunity to receive the image of God in our neighbors. Let us not be afraid. Let us not trouble the hearts of any. In this way, we can be a blessing to the world as God originally intended us to be. And that is good news.